You're listening to the Degrassi Back to Class podcast. I'm your host, Katie Durant, and Linda Burke is home in Toronto. I'm in LA. Today on the episode, we are very lucky to have Dio Ade, also known as Bryant Lester Thomas, also known as BLT. All right, enjoy. In LA, with
Dio Ade.
Dio Ade. This is unbelievable. Linda's not here. She's back in Toronto. So we have my friend Leanne here.
Hi, Leanne.
Hello. Hi. And I can't believe that I have Dio here. It's awesome. Thank you so much for being a part of this.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So I guess we'll just start with like asking you how you first got into being on Degrassi.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was one of those kids who could never sit still. Mm-hmm. My mom was pretty in tune with, okay, I got to find something for him to do. So I got into modeling first, you know, just doing a lot of the local flyers and stuff like that. And then I did a little acting course. And when I graduated that, submitted my pictures to a bunch of agencies, and the agency picked me up right away. And so then I was doing commercials, and then the agent was like, do you think he would like to do TV? My mom asked me, he's like, yeah, probably. First audition was for a Big Brother commercial. Didn't get that. Second audition was Degrassi, and never looked back since.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you started, like, was it the second season of Degrassi Junior High?
Yes. Yes. I started the second season.
Yes. Yeah.
So it had
already started when you joined.
Yes. So they had done, I think, two seasons of Kids of Degrassi Street, the first season of Degrassi Junior High, and then I came on the second season.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
And then, like, the third season, I guess, is when your character really started to get developed.
Yes.
They involved you in some storylines. And I found that with Degrassi Junior High, the third season is when things got to be a lot more serious.
Yeah.
Like, the topics, like, we had Wheels, the death of Wheels' parents that happened early on in that season.
Mm-hmm.
Snake's brother being gay.
Mm-hmm.
Kathleen is anorexic.
Yeah.
And Shane does acid and jumps off the bridge. Like, they got really serious in season three.
Yeah, I think, you know, from now that I look back, you know, Linda had got a real good cast of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And just the whole, the way we would brainstorm, we would read the script. And then after we had read the script during the table read, they would get a lot of our info on how we felt about the topics and things that were actually really happening to us in school.
Mm-hmm.
So we gave them a lot of ammunition to be able to go back and do rewrites. And I think with the particular group of kids that they had, because we all came from different areas of Toronto and we all had different experiences, they were probably overloaded with so much. They were like, well, let's go deeper.
Yes.
And that's why I think by that time they kind of kicked it up a notch and the storylines became even more risque, if
yes.
you want to put it in
yeah,
that, you know.
For sure. And that's the thing, like, the way that they did it, because there's a documentary, I think it's just a short little documentary called Degrassi Between Takes.
Okay.
And they actually show the kids sitting around with the script, and it was the one the big episode for you, Black and White.
Yeah.
And it has them talking about what their thoughts are on the episode. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they did that, I think that also contributed to why Degrassi felt so realistic as a teenager watching it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I look back now. I haven't seen. I'm going to have to go. Where was this?
It was on YouTube. It's on YouTube. Yeah.
I'll have to go I'll find send it to you. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. It was just, I mean, that's, I look back now and that was such a big part of my life. But when you're living it and at that age, you don't realize the magnitude of what it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
And to look back now and to look at the kind of topics that we were tackling in the 80s that grown adult shows weren't even tackling those kind of issues. You know, they, like Degrassi, really went out on a limb and it paid off. I mean, this is 30 years later and the series is, I think, still going strong, where it went to Netflix. I'm not sure if it's
went to Netflix, and I don't know if it's
still on, but yeah, it's just, yeah, we really jumped leaps and bounds and it took a lot of risks and it paid off.
Yeah,
it paid off.
It totally did.
Yeah.
In the episode, like the episode Black and White, your character BLT, he wants to ask Michelle to the dance. Michelle's parents, you know, when she tells them, they don't like that he's, like, they're not approving. And it's because you're black.
Yeah.
And, like, in that same episode, there was the fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
And someone calls you the N-word.
Yeah.
And, or your character. When they pitched this to you, how did you feel?
I was embracing of it.
Yeah.
Even now in my life, like, you know, I'm grown up, like I'm an adult now, but these are issues that are still super relevant today. And then down here south of the border in America, it's like, you know, with all the craziness that's going in the political arena and, you know, just to see how the world is changing, to see that the topics that we were tackling then are still so relevant now.
Yeah.
And certain influences are giving certain people with a certain outlook on life. What's the word I'm looking for? Giving them confidence to start rallying up again.
Yeah.
It's almost like we're going in a backward swing.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's crazy. But when they pitched the idea to me, I was all for it because, you know, those were things that I dealt with back then. You know, I had dated somebody who was white at the time. And the backlash you get from both, you know, your black friends and your white friends, you know, they tackled it more from her parents' perspective and like, you know, grown adults, you know, her parents, the white adults, how they reacted. But, you know, we never really tackled how you can get backlash from your own side, too, at the same time. But, you know, one step at a time. But it was I was totally game.
It's kind of sad that it's still so relevant in a way.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we haven't made that much progress. But the fact that you did this back in the 80s is just like groundbreaking, really.
Yeah.
And I have a question, actually. So I posted on social media accounts that we would be interviewing you. And so I have a few like fan questions.
Sure,
and one of them comes from Rachel Scully, who's a huge Degrassi fan.
Hi, Rachel.
She goes, how hard was it for him to say the N-word in the episode? In the episode Black and White? And did any of the networks, either CBC or PBS, have any issue with the word being said on the show back in the day?
I didn't have an issue with it because it was also at the time when rap was like, it was like this newfound art form. And, you know, the history of hip hop rap has always been rebellious. It's always been an artistic form of expressing yourself and, and going against the system or protesting. And, you know, at that time, rap was taking that word and it was being embraced and we were empowering it amongst black people.
Yeah.
But if somebody outside of the culture or outside of the race was to use it, then that's when it becomes a very touchy subject.
Yeah.
You know, and that's still relevant to today.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if CBC aired it that way. I know PBS did. But actually, I think CBC did also. So
I remember it watching it that way. But I know, you know, when in School's Out, they said the F word for the first time, right? And I know that when it was aired on American stations, they had to completely cut those scenes out, which of course makes School's Out totally different.
Yeah. Wow.
So I did. Yeah. I don't know. I guess she was just wondering if you know if they cut it out for, you know, I know, like, I think it was PBS in Boston.
Boston?
They loved airing.
Yeah. It's very funny how in different states, you know, state laws are very different mm-hmm. all across America. So in certain states, they're going to play it unedited.
Yeah.
And then, but Canada's always been very progressive in showing what's going on as far as, like, you know, Canadian culture. And, you know, Degrassi has had a great run. It's done so much for a lot of people, you know, especially that came after our generation, you know, the Drakes and the, her name, she was on Pretty Little Liars.
Yes, I know who you're talking about. Unfortunately, I don't know
her name. Is it Mila? But
Shayna
or something? Yeah. Okay, well, but they've done very well for themselves. Yeah. You know, and I'm super proud to be part of the legacy of Degrassi. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things that Degrassi has done for not just us as the actors on the show, but for people who watch the show, mm-hmm. we want to call them fans, I say.
Yeah,
I call them people because, you know, I'm just a regular person like everybody else. I've just been very fortunate to be able to continue doing what I'm doing. But it's helped a lot of people. It's changed a lot of lives. And it's just been at the right place at the right time. And
I'm
proud to be a part of that.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah, and like if you went to like any of the fan screenings, and I know you're out here in LA, uh-huh. it's probably hard for you to like come to Toronto, but you really should try.
Yeah, I tried to come for the June 2nd, the one that they had. Pat, just who plays Joey, just had a mini reunion.
Yeah, we were there.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah.
I tried so hard, but I was shooting Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
So
I think he really wants to continue with it by the sounds of it. So there'll be other opportunities. But I know people, like fans, they want you to come. So I'm passing along that message.
Not a problem. Well, you know what? Pat's a very creative individual and I love his creativity. He has a very bright and genuine spirit about him. Mm-hmm. Love you, Pat. and, you know, and I don't think this is the last you're going to see of the original cast and generation.
Oh,
you know, a lot of us are back in touch with each other now.
Yeah.
And now as adults, you know, we have a very different outlook on life.
Mm-hmm.
I've continued with the acting. I've been very fortunate, but I'm also getting transitioning into producing now.
Mm-hmm.
Not Caitlin, Stacy and Amanda and Kathy, they've been working on their projects and they've been doing a lot of writing and also producing. So a lot of us have been, we've reconnected. Oh, Anais, she's produced. Mm-hmm. She's produced. She's directed.
Yeah.
So we're all trying to re-sync with each other mm-hmm. and you never know what's going to pop up out of it. I don't want to say
that anything. That would be so cool.
Too soon, but you know, but as adults now and with the knowledge that we have of the industry and everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Just be on the lookout.
Wow. And I all started with Degrassi. That's amazing. okay. I'm going to get back to a few of the questions also that fans brought up. Michelle Green asks, were any of BLT's situation ever based on real life experiences?
Yes. Hey, Michelle. Shout out. the whole black-white scenario of the interracial dating, that was very common. Like, you know, that generation, we were being brought up and raised that we didn't see color.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about that. It was about we got to know each other
mm-hmm.
and we'd learn about each other's cultures and our differences. So that was something I was actually going through at the time or had gone through. I can't remember. It's been so long ago. It was based on real life situations. And if it wasn't specifically my situation, it was a situation that they had researched and probably interviewed somebody else
mm-hmm.
or an article of something. And then they would revamp it for Degrassi and then get my input and get other cast members' inputs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. You know, with BLT, you know, when we got to Degrassi High, first mm-hmm. season of Degrassi High, you're in the relationship with Michelle.
Yeah.
Things are going well. BLT was such a sweetheart. He was so sweet. He was helping his girlfriend when she moved out of her apartment and moved out. And then she got the job at the donut shop.
Yeah.
Had to take some caffeine pills. You were super supportive during that time.
Yeah.
And then we got to the second season of Degrassi High. And Michelle, I think, I have not rewatched this episode mm-hmm. in a while because this is just a super quick interview planned out here. So, I think she went away for mm-hmm. the summer. and you started seeing somebody named Cindy.
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, I will tell you that lots of fans are not a fan of BLT when that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I will tell you from my perspective, I can kind of sympathize a little bit with BLT,
you know,
he had a summer without his girlfriend and he met somebody that he really connected with.
Yeah.
And it's teen romance, right?
Yeah.
Stuff like that happens.
Happens.
It just happens,
yeah.
Right?
You know, thank you, first of all, for giving BLT a little bit of support. That's refreshing to hear.
Yeah.
You know, it was the transition of going from junior high to high school.
Yeah.
We all have experienced it. And then when you have your significant other kind of falls out of the picture for a while, and you've been dealing with the backlash of not being accepted because of the color of your skin, you know, the whole racial aspect. Mm-hmm. And like I had mentioned before, it wasn't touched upon about the backlash you get from your own people. And then this girl comes along, you're transitioning from junior high to high school, your girlfriend's not in the picture, you really don't know. As teenagers, our hormones are raging, you know, so a lot of stuff is going on. And I think they depicted the transition from junior high to high school on point, spot mm-hmm. on. How he did it, I don't agree with, you know, and he got what was coming to him.
Which, yeah, exactly.
You know, which I know we're probably going to get into that in a little bit. It was, Degrassi was very specific to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And they hit the mark every time.
They did. Yeah. They did. And I can tell you as a viewer. And that's why I started watching it as a teenager and completely identified it, even though I was watching it in syndication. So when it was after it had been aired for quite a few years,
mm-hmm.
and I still identified it. And even with it, like today watching it, I can still relate to it, even though it's a teenage program, you know?
Yeah.
They have something special. So what was your initial thoughts with the script when you heard that, okay, you're breaking up with Michelle, you have a new girlfriend? Ugh. Like, what were your initial thoughts with that?
It was sad. I remember the table read. Once we got to that page, it was almost, it wasn't even planned, but it just happened. I just remember I looked up and Maureen, who played Michelle, we both looked up at each other and kind of just, looked at each other.
Yeah.
You know, because you get used to working with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and but it's part of growing up, you know. It turned into a huge discussion afterwards when we did the brainstorming session after reading the script. And a lot of great things came out. Everybody had their own perspective and views on it. I can't remember specifically. I just remember it got not heated in a bad way, but everybody had an opinion,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, because everybody's outtake on life and everybody's experience is going to be different. So, it was a touchy subject, and it was one I wish they had continued diving into more, but, you know, it took its course and...
Yeah. But also, it was, like, great because Degrassi showed what it's like when two people break up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the best things when you break up with someone is just to try to distance yourself from them. But when you're going to the same high school, that's not easy.
No.
You know, Michelle's seeing Cindy with you every day. That can't be easy.
Yeah.
So I think they did that really well.
They played it out very well.
So another question is, did you ever like, what was your experience with watching yourself on TV as a teenager? I know, like, we had Arlene on the show in our previous episode, and she said, you know, even though we were normal kids, normal teenagers,
mm-hmm.
you know, growing up on Degrassi, it's not normal. You're out of school every, 2 weeks for a couple of days filming the show.
Yeah.
You're seeing yourself on TV. Your friends are seeing yourself on TV. Like, what was that like for you?
It was almost like an out-of-body experience. Attending regular school was hard at the time,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people, they associate with you more as the character, because they don't know you as an individual.
Yeah.
So I found myself a lot of times, you know, having to, you know, clarify that's a character I play.
Mm-hmm.
I was an athlete. I wasn't as soft-spoken in my real life.
Yeah.
You know, I was rambunctious. I played a lot of sports. I don't know. It's just they really hit the marks with a lot of stuff, but it was different. It was, like I said, it was almost an out-of-body experience to see yourself on screen, and the reaction and how people would react to you, you know, became very popular and got a lot of friends out of it in the schools, that, because I went to 4 different high schools in my whole span of Degrassi.
Oh, wow.
Because instead of going to an art school, I kept going to regular public school, mm-hmm. and they can only accommodate your attendance for so long, and then I had to transfer to another school. So that was something I had to deal with, and I had to try and figure out, because I was also a West End kid, while a lot of the kids were East End.
Yes.
I think the only other West End person was Amanda, who played Spike, but she went to a school of the arts.
Yeah.
So, it was funny to see myself on TV, but it seemed normal at the same time, because I was living in my truth at that time.
Yeah.
It wasn't until after this series came to an end, the transitioning, that was a little bit harder, because it was like the show came to an end and we all kind of felt like, okay, what do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole nother
story. That's a whole nother story. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I talked to George Shakur, who played Nick on Degrassi. And his experience was that when he was homophobic on the show, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
And he was going to school, you know, in Toronto's gay village. And he was so nervous to go to school after those episodes aired, because he felt like, oh my gosh, these people are going to actually think that's me.
Yeah.
You know, so it's weird to hear these stories that, you know, your actual high school experiences while you filmed Degrassi.
Yeah. And then at that time too, it was like, homophobia was at a peak.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't understand it. Like, to compare then to now, mm-hmm. how it's so accepted, and it should be, people are people, mm-hmm. you know, but it took the human race that long to get to where we are now. And then to be that young and dealing with a topic, not just on television, mm-hmm. but then when they say cut, you have to deal with it in your real life, because people look at you as the character. So I can only imagine what George had to deal with, or how people looked at him, or the things that were said to him, or how he was accepted, embraced by certain people, and then other people just kind of shunned him. It's such a roller coaster ride when you're playing one of the characters on the show.
And you're a teenager, being a teenager is difficult enough as
exactly.
right? For any teen.
Yeah.
So, are there any memories that stick out from your time filming? Any like funny stories or anything that you can think of? Embarrassing stories? No.
embarrassing stories. I signed a non-disclosure agreement. That was not good. But just like I said, is like, you know, as an adult looking back now, those were probably some of the greatest years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing how impactful they were going to be later on.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys probably hear this all the time, is like, that was my second family. Mm-hmm. It literally was my second biological, not non-biological family. When you spend those critical years of your life growing up with these other teenagers, and that's an experience till this day, this is 20, 30 years later. And when we all talk to each other, it's like, you know, we have certain experiences that only we understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I'm forever grateful for the experience. I'm forever grateful for the people who are still in my life because of the experience.
Yeah.
And I look forward to the things that we all now as adults can do with the experience.
Yes.
And, you know, show people that, you know what, yes, those were characters, but we're real people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still stories to be told. Not by the Degrassi characters, but by the Degrassi cast, the human beings who played these characters. We all have our own stories now. And I really do look forward to us figuring it out, getting together, and telling our story.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying for a while, I'm like, I want a Degrassi documentary, you know, interview all of you. That's part of the reason why I want to do the podcast too, because I know everybody has stories to tell.
Yeah.
And, you know, can put them all together as a great movie. I think you could do it.
Thank you.
Okay. So I guess now we'll get more into what happened after Degrassi.
Okay.
So you're in LA now.
Yeah.
So how did you end up in LA, and what did you, what was your experience after filming Degrassi?
I went through a bit of a dark period. The whole, it was like what I said before, is like the show came to an abrupt and for all of us as kids. Mm-hmm. We didn't really have any guidance as far as what to do next or how to continue pursuing our careers. Remember, we were all non-union kids. Mm-hmm. A lot of us didn't have representation, so we didn't know the next steps. I was fortunate I had an agent, but I was still a non-union actor at the time. By the time the show came to a wrap was when I then became union. So then going from being on TV all the time, and it's just like when you, it's like when you're an athlete, you're used to having practices, like you have a regulated schedule. Mm-hmm. And when all of a sudden that schedule is just torn out from underneath your feet, you're gonna fall. Yeah. How you fall is gonna determine how you get up. Some people didn't wanna get up, some people didn't get up because you probably got injured. I'm just putting it in a sports analogy kind of way because I'm an athlete. So it was hard how the show came to an end. As kids, so young, we didn't know how to navigate ourselves. So a lot of us went through dark periods. Some handled it better than others, and I can only speak for myself that I was fortunate to have such a supporting family. I ended up meeting my new agent on the bus.
Oh,
just
wow.
One day on the bus, Deanna, shout out to you, who I'm still in touch with now, but she's not, like, you know, she has her own program called Be Discovered. Thank God for her. She kind of helped me navigate new jobs. I ended up doing Kids in the Hall, and I did a couple commercials. I did Top Cops. Like, I did a whole bunch of other little small stuff. Mm-hmm. But at that time, Toronto was not offering a lot of opportunities for young African-Canadian men. Mm-hmm. So I ended up moving to New York for a little while. I moved to New York for about a year and 4 months between New York and New Jersey. And when I figured out that that wasn't for me, because I went with my agent, Diane, at the time, and we went, like, you know, hand submitting pictures and resumes, mm-hmm. and didn't really get the feedback we wanted. Ended up coming back to Toronto after I'd lived there for a while. And then a couple years later, I was barbering, and the owner of the barber, a good friend of mine till this day, Mike McCook, shout out to Mike, he was visiting his mom here in California, and he said, come on this vacation with me. So I came on the vacation, and literally as the plane landed, as we got off the plane, as soon as I just breathed in the California air, mm-hmm. something just hit me. This is where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. And about 2-3 years later, I was back in Toronto, like after the vacation, figured it out, packed all my stuff, started working on my papers, and I moved here. And I came back and forth for a little while, and then just one day came when the papers were almost done, and that was it. And I said, I'm just going to figure it out. And I've been here ever since.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. It's funny because actually, this isn't my first time meeting you.
No?
Because do you remember the Jonovision?
Yes.
Well, I was like 17 years old. I went to that and I met you there.
CBC. Yeah, I remember. We had
and
at
I
the
remember,
CBC.
I remember that you said when you were there that you were in LA.
Yep.
Yeah. So you must have flown back to Toronto
to
do the reunion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is actually my second time meeting you.
Well, hello again. Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So, okay. So anyways, back to being in LA.
Okay.
So like you're on... Oh, currently you're on quite a few different shows. You did the LA Complex.
Yes, the LA Complex, which was shot between Toronto and LA.
Yeah.
They shot the majority of it in Toronto, but a lot of it was also shot in LA. Funny enough, all my scenes were shot in Toronto.
Yeah.
Even though I live in LA,
my gosh.
So I flew back for that. Yeah. And while I was shooting that, I booked another TV series with White Pine Pictures, which was owned by CBC, mm-hmm. called Cracked.
Yeah.
So I ended up moving back to Toronto for 3.5 years, and I was shooting both shows at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you had a part on Lost.
Yep, that was fun.
Yeah.
I had just recently got married. Actually, that's a funny story. I auditioned for Lost on the day that I got married. Mm-hmm. So I went to my audition, did the audition, went straight to the church, got
so
married,
funny.
Literally... Not even 48 hours afterwards, I got the call that I got the job and was on a plane a week and a half later to Hawaii to go shoot Lost. And I was there for 3 weeks and flew my wife out for the second and third week.
Yeah.
Tried to write it off as my honeymoon. She was like, oh, no, 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 no. So that one didn't slide, but it was a great experience. It was like literally, I always remember Lost, got married.
Yeah.
Same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Oh, here. Okay, so we have one of our Instagram followers. And I'm sorry, I don't know her name. I just know her handle.
Okay.
Her name's Diet Coke for Breakfast.
What up, Diet Coke for Breakfast?
She says, I miss the LA complex. Oh. Was the role of Dynasty written specifically for him? And what was it like working with Linda Skyler and Stephen Brogan again?
It was great to work with them again. You see, even though it was the LA complex, it was kind of being back with very familiar Degrassi people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So LA Complex was a great experience. It was a great cast. Linda had grown her franchise to the mega thing that it had become. And, you know, it was good. Yeah, like, you have to remember, I had removed myself. Like, I was here now.
Yeah.
So this was home now. And I didn't get to see a lot of the cast members. I didn't get to interact with a lot of the people. Toronto was growing as an entertainment mecca, as the entertainment mecca for Canada at the time. Mm-hmm. So when I moved, that transition started happening. So I faced new struggles down here, basically climbing up the ranks again, while the industry was now growing. Mm-hmm. So I kind of left at the wrong time, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I could have really grown and blossomed with the Toronto industry. But it was good to see Linda at that time. You know, a lot of us had gone through our dark stages, and I had actually met up with Linda on a few occasions when she was in LA. Mm-hmm. And we had had some sit downs, and, you know, we'd had some heart to heart. So I'd been able to talk with her about certain things that I had issues with the show coming to an end the way it did. Seeing Stefan was always great. Stefan's always a bright light.
Yeah.
He's just a guy, you just look at him and he opens his mouth and he just makes you laugh. He just makes you smile. Yeah. And so proud of him to see him go from being an actor to writing. And Stefan is super funny. If you've not seen some of the skits he's written and produced, mm-hmm. and then he also produces and he directs. Yeah. So super proud of Stefan and all of his accomplishments. It was LA Complex was a great introduction back. For me, that was actually my introduction back to the Canadian market.
Yes.
Because when I left, I kind of left and didn't even look back.
Yeah.
So LA Complex was the first job that I had worked in Canada in probably over a decade.
Yeah.
And that was my introduction back. And
yeah.
So for me personally, very grateful for it. Great experience and a bunch of talented actors that I met.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Are you recording anything now? I don't know if you can talk about anything.
I can. There's some things that, you know, like this industry, always signing NDAs. Yes. But
exactly.
I'm currently doing three TV shows at the same time. One's called Startup, which is a Sony Crackle, and we shoot that in Puerto Rico.
Nice.
So we just completed season 3, and that's going to start airing, I think, sometime in November.
Yeah.
And that's free, sonycrackle.com, shameless plug. Then I'm also shooting Heartland, which everybody knows. Excuse me. We shoot that one in Calgary, and that one is going, I think, on season 12.
Yeah.
What else? I just finished shooting Animal Kingdom. And hopefully that character comes back. He didn't die, so there's always a possibility. There's something else brewing right now, just waiting for my agents to confirm. Flying to Montreal tomorrow to shoot a new video game for Ubisoft. And I have a current video game that's about to be released with Ubisoft this fall called Starlink, The Battle for Atlas. And that's mocap. So doing two projects with Ubisoft. And my biggest thing that I'm really focusing on is that I'm getting ready to start producing.
Mm-hmm.
I have like 9 projects I'm working on. 2 of them I'm really focused on, and I have interest from production companies in Canada and the US. So it's just about finding the right writer to team up with and start writing the pilots. And like I said, you will be seeing a lot more of me.
Awesome.
More so from the producing aspect.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll throw myself into my own projects here and there. But I really have found a passion and a love for producing.
Yeah.
Because it's the title is more of a people person, bringing all the right entities to the table. And I think I have a natural knack of just...
Uh-huh. And having been in the industry for so long.
Yes, 30-something years.
I guess, like... you have a lot of fans, I will tell you.
Oh, okay.
I know this from our social media. I just want to give you a little bit of perspective here. We have one fan, Lisa Hayward.
Okay, hey Lisa.
She goes, BLT was a brilliant character and beautifully portrayed by Dio. Also, the stuff dreams were made of. Heart face and fire emoji.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I wonder if he knows just how much impact his character stories and the depth he brought to it really impacted the world in such a positive way. Much love to him.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. Big heart emoji out to you, too.
Linda Burke. So Linda's my co-host,
okay,
who's not here. But, you know, I was like, any questions you have for him, just like, you know, send me a text. And so last night she was watching your episodes, and
okay,
she's just like, I got this text. She's probably going to be super embarrassed that I'm reading it to you right now.
Okay.
BLT is hot. Ask him if he's single.
Unfortunately, no, but thank you, yeah, Lisa.
So, I guess also, one more thing. Mm-hmm. When we do our podcast, we like to give whoever's being interviewed, we like to give them a kind of a gift at the end.
Oh.
Mind you, like, you know, we'll usually make something, but we didn't have a lot of time.
Okay.
So,
surprise. Oh my gosh. Oh, you guys did not have to do that. Oh my God.
It's a jug of milk.
So I gotta put some chocolate in it.
Sorry, I'm not going to put it in a cup and throw it on your head, but...
Let me see. Oh, it's whole milk?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's real California milk. All right, that works.
There you
I
go.
Love this. Thank
so
you.
So there's some milk. We could always mail you something after that we make, but
okay.
Yeah, I completely appreciate your time coming on
you.
The podcast, because I know, you. Obviously, you're super busy. So I'm so happy this worked out.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you. And you know, thank you to all the fans out there. Thank you for what you're doing. This stuff like this reinvigorates us as the cast members to keep pushing forward with the things that we have brewing. You know, and I'm always I always want to encourage other artistic people, you know, follow your heart, follow your dreams. Persistence will get you to the finish line.
Nice.
You know, it's like, I mean, I'm nowhere close to it because I keep pushing my own finish line further back because I have so much more I want to do.
Yeah.
No, thank you so much for coming all the way out here. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. All right. So tune in next time. We are going to have Craig Driscoll, who played Rick Monroe.
Craig.
He's going to be giving me a tattoo.
What? Oh, I am jealous.
I'm getting a Degrassi tattoo.
Really?
I don't have any tattoos, so this is my first tattoo.
Tell Craig. Oh, you don't have any? Well, you can tell
her. You have nice tattoos.
Thank
yeah.
you. Yeah. Tell Craig I'm coming to San Diego to come get a tattoo with him.
Okay, awesome. I will.
Yeah, please.
That's
let
great.
Him know. Let him know. He does amazing work. I've checked out his website and
he's very talented.
Super talented.
Yeah.
Super talented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super. So, and those listening, just add us on Facebook, Degrassi Back to Class. Check out our Instagram. I'll post some pictures. I hope we can get a selfie together.
Of course, most definitely.
All right, awesome.
All right.
All right. So thank you for listening and tune in next time. Bye.
Bye.